I think we'll save the video for the second service, gentlemen. Appreciate your help in the booth. I don't want to run out of time. I'm having a struggle with this sermon this morning. I reviewed it on Friday, and it had so many tender points to it, so many touch points for what we're going through as a society today. I thought, what was I thinking when I wrote that message? And I went back through, I thought, when did I write this thing? You know, I wrote this message 8 months ago. And I thought, how in the world did I write a message 8 months ago and I'm preaching it this Sunday? Well, what had happened was I had done a series on Ephesians, and then another series came to mind, and so we've been doing other things. It was kind of put on the shelf for a while, Ephesians was, and then we brought it out here for recently. But I thought, why do many of the things I'm saying today sound inflammatory? And I had to sit and think, well, what was different about 8 months ago? Yeah. We had a different president. There was no crisis at the border to speak of. And socially, things were a lot calmer than they are right now. So when you hear what I have to say this morning, I want you to hear that through that filter. And I want you to understand that the Word of God is the Word of God, whether it's 8 months ago or it's now. And we need to hear what we're hearing as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. There are things that are interfering with what we have come to know as truth. And we have to be able to filter the noise of society away from the truth of Scripture. So hopefully we can do that as we walk through this together this morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11 there. America, in my opinion, is one of God's greatest ideas. Having reserved this body of land from the greater known world for centuries to be discovered at just the right time seems to have been a stroke of divine genius. The mixture of races and ethnicities and so on prior to America was almost unheard of. When you wanted to have assimilation together, there was conquering and all that kind of stuff went on. But for people to peacefully settle in together was quite an anomaly in the history of the world. The Tower of Babel divided everybody. They went their separate ways, and the discovery of North America was a big piece in bringing them back together again. Every nationality that hit our shores was met with prejudice and struggle to claim the American dream. My grandparents on both sides of my family, my mom's family, my dad's family, both sets of grandparents came over from Europe through Alice Island. We're all immigrants to this land for the most part. The words carved into the Statue of Liberty make it sound so easy, so simple. Make it sound like you would be welcomed with open arms, with warm and fuzzy feelings, and welcome to the neighborhood. We're proud of those words on that statue and wish that it was always true. And I do believe that it has shown through to be true in the overall essence. But each people group who came to our country, each one had to struggle for assimilation. Italians, Irish, Germans, Jews, Africans, Chinese, and more met oppression. Sadly, some still are. But the hope of being one people, one blood, one community lives on. And nowhere does that hope shine brighter than in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning reminds us that of an ancient divide that Jesus came to fill, to bridge the gap between peoples. And it inspires us to continue the mending work of Christ today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Father, let that blood be applied to us today. I wonder, Lord, if there isn't a sort of PTSD going on for all of America through this COVID thing and much of what has been incited in recent days. Would you help us to find rest, to find peace, joy, and love in the Holy Spirit today as we soak in your scriptures? And we'll thank you for your help in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the ancient world, from the Jewish perspective, there were only two groups of people. You either were a Jew or you weren't. You were a Jew, and everybody else fit in the category of Gentile. Didn't matter what race, what nationality, where you were from, you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. Now, there's a touch of arrogance in that perspective. And what happens when other people sense arrogance in someone? When there's an arrogant person in the room, do you get all warm and fuzzy? You just, oh, I like that guy. She's going to get my vote. How do we respond to arrogance? Well, we resist it, don't we? What makes you think that you're better than me? And who told you this and that? So the world largely objected, and sometimes with hostility, to this division, Jews and Gentiles. Now, if ever there was a group of people who might be given to a little bit of arrogance or have the right to a little bit of arrogance, it would have been the Jewish people, because God said, they're my people. The Jews are God's people, the people of God. But when you tell the world we're the people of God, well, hey, wait a second. That sets them on edge a little bit. But it wasn't set up for superiority. It wasn't set up to be a self-righteous kind of a thing. God had a people that he set apart for himself as a window to the world, as an example for all. The Jewish nation was established to be a light to the rest of the world. The world was lost. And God said, okay, I'm going to start with a guy, Abraham. I'm going to make out of him a nation. And this nation I will prosper and I will bless, and they will live for me, and the world will see how I prosper and bless them, and everybody will say, I want to be like that. How is it possible for me to be like that? And the Jewish nation was to be an open door to the whole world to say, yes, yes, we're here to show you the way. You're to be part of us, not separated from us. And so here is the law of God, and this is the Lord that we cherish and we worship. And if you will come and you will worship the Lord, you will be part of this family as well. Her arms were to be opened wide to all who wish to join her, choose Judaism, become part of the family of God. The world didn't respond very graciously to that. Most of the world didn't want to become Jewish, thank you very much. We'll just keep our own gods. We'll just do our own thing. We'll live as we please. Don't try telling us how we're supposed to live. And even if they came to embrace Israel's God, they didn't want to become part of Israel. They didn't want to become Jewish. Even in our New Testament, when you read in the book of Acts, it says that Paul would go to the local synagogue and he would preach to the Jews and to the God-fearing Gentiles. They would retain a bit of separatism there, and say, okay, I've come to realize that this is the one true God, but I'm not going to go all in. I'm not going to convert to Judaism per se. I'm just going to worship God from where I am. And there was a great deal of animosity that had come against the Jews because of this division, Jews and Gentiles. And we've seen that animosity continuing. This is one of the points that I was making earlier. What was 8 months ago? Well, 8 months ago, I wasn't hearing anything about anti-Semitism, were you? But over the last month, we've heard a great deal about it. Perhaps it was ongoing, and perhaps it's been incited more recently because of the trouble that's going on between the Palestinians, Hamas, and Israel today. But all throughout history, there have been empires, there have been nations who have done their best to eliminate the Jewish race. Foremost in our minds is the Holocaust, when Hitler was in power there in Germany. And even today, this anti-Semitism persists. On the news, just a couple of weeks ago, Channel 8 News, there was a young man from Michigan, all dressed up in military gear, and was spewing all this anti-Semitic stuff, claiming that the Holocaust, all that never happened. And these, I'm thinking, what is going on here? Why are these things being incited right now in our society? Why was he even given a voice on the news? True Christians honor the land of Israel and its citizens. True Christians honor the land of Israel and its citizens. There are many false believers who tout themselves as godly people who say the exact opposite. In the name of God, they hate the Jews. That's anti-scripture. That's anti-Christ. We believe that God's promise that those who bless the Jews will be blessed and those who curse the Jews will be cursed still holds true today. Amen. God's word is consistent. Amen. We love the Jewish people and the land of Israel, continually praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Israel's ancestors in the flesh are our ancestors in the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Daniel, Peter, Paul, John, and of course Jesus himself. All of Jewish descent. Now the old way of assimilation was your nation conquered their nation, or your city conquered their city. You went in and you killed all the men. You took the women and the children home with you. They became part of your nationality. They learned your language. They learned your cultures. They either assimilated or they died. They became you. That was the only way of assimilation in the ancient cultures. Not so with the Jews. The Jews sometimes were exiled. They were sometimes taken captive. But for the most part, they did not assimilate. They remained the Jews. They kept worshiping the one true God. They kept their dietary rules and their law going. And this resistance to assimilate with the rest of the world. Now, we don't find that today, right? The world doesn't get upset when we don't act like they act. We don't think like they think. We don't do what they do. They can change it on any given day, and we're just supposed to go right along with it. The world isn't upset with that, is it? But in the ancient world, they got real upset with that. And they said, why aren't you worshiping our gods? Why aren't you doing the things that we do? Why don't you live like we do, eat the foods we do, drink the things we drink, and so on? And they would never accept the explanation, well, we worship the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, and he has given us a law, and this is the way that life is supposed to be lived. That lack of integration marked the Jews as different, arrogant, intolerant, and inflexible. You hear any of those words recently? Any of that come to mind? As I said, everyone else on earth gave up their old language, their culture, their gods, not the Jews. And this often bred contempt and mistrust in these other people groups. So let's read our text one more time with these things in mind. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the human body, by human hands, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. So he's talking to Gentiles, people who were raised with a prejudice against the Jews. Why don't they dress like everybody else? Why don't they eat the same things we do? Why do they always have to be special? Why do they have to be different? And now all of a sudden they're coming into Christ and they're finding out I'm being grafted into the Jewish. Wait a second, I don't know that I want to go along with all. How do I reconcile Christ as my Savior and my Messiah with he is also Jewish? And now add to that little storm the fact that those who are still part of the synagogue, the Jew, are persecuting Paul because he's a Christian and he's not following the traditions as they were using. So talk about a social swirl that's going on. First of all, we got the Gentiles who are prejudiced against the Jews. We got the Jews who are prejudiced against the Gentiles. Then we got a Christian coming in the middle, smiling at everybody and saying, hey, kumbaya, let's join hands here and have a little dance together, huh? They're all, wait a second. So the Gentiles kind of saying, look, I want your Jesus. I don't know that I want your Jews. The Jews are saying, I don't want your Jesus, and I don't want your paganism either. And Paul's walking into the middle. Therefore, remember, you Gentiles by birth, and you were called uncircumcised, oh, you were the dirty sinners, the Jews called you that. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So do you want to go back to that? Well, no, I don't want to go without God, without hope, but I don't know. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus makes a difference. This is who we were. This is who we, our society created us to be, who we were formed to be, who we were taught to be. I need brainwashed. I need to bring my brains to the Word of God every day and say, God, this is how they want me to think, and this is how they want me. How do you want me to think? What is the truth here? How am I supposed to live in this world that is swirling this way and that way with all these different philosophies? Formerly, that's a great word. Formerly, you used to be. Before Jesus, you were something else. Boy, you take a week off from preaching, you lose your preacher muscles. Formerly, that's who you were. There's a formerly in all of us. Did you know that? There's a formerly that wants to come back all the time. There's a formerly that is of our society. Before we were in Christ. Be very careful you're not thinking like an unbeliever, because we live in an unbelieving society. There are a lot of believers who call themselves believers. There are a lot of preachers who say they're preaching the word, and they're far from it. You got to hear the truth from the lips of God and follow that. Formerly, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Sometimes when you follow Christ, you'll be offended. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sometimes when you follow Christ, you'll be offended by the Holy Spirit. He'll speak things into your life you don't want to hear. He'll tell you things you don't believe. Now, the Holy Spirit and you, which one do you think is probably right? And a lot of times it's humbling for us to say, I'm sorry, Lord. And as I say, in this culture that we're in right now, I am hearing things, I am being bombarded by things that make me angry, that upset me. I've said it to this congregation before, I'm going to say it again. They're trying to get us to become racist. They're trying to get us angry. They're trying to get us incited. They're trying to get us to group together and away from others. And according to old ancient categories and prejudices, there is an effort going on right now to do that. I just read on my news feed this last week a quote from an assistant professor, an assistant dean at a university, prominent university, who said, critical race theory needs to be taught today because all white people are racist. Now, nothing makes me feel a little bit more like a racist than being told I'm a racist. And I want to defend myself. I don't have to defend myself against that. It's a lie. You don't have to get all worked up about it. It's a lie. You know, the enemy enjoys inciting the enemy. And they're trying to incite because they want to make enemies out of us. We're not their enemy. We're not their enemy. The Church of Jesus Christ is not racist. It is not against any people group. It is not against others. Now, if you want to be a racist, if you want to be segregated, you want all that stuff, well, remember, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise without hope and without God in the world. If you want to go there, you're going to go there without God. God's church is inclusive, and it opens its arms to everybody who believes in Jesus Christ. There's not a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There's only one church. There's not a black church, an Italian church, or whatever church. There's only one church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We need to come in out of that world, and we need to come into Christ. Lord, wash me. Lord, help me. The media, for whatever reason, and much of what's going on right now, is trying to invoke anger and bitterness and hatred, critical race theory. I don't know if you've done any study on that or not. They're trying to bring it into school systems, local school systems, and so on. And it's asking us to look through the lens of racism at everything that goes on. You might compare it to what Freud did some years ago. Freud said the lenses we look through are sexual. Everybody does everything because of sexual pressures and so on and so forth. It's all sexual, sexual, sexual. Well, now critical race, no, it's all racial. It's all racial. The things you say in complete innocence you didn't know were racial. One of the things that was touted on the news just this last week is in one school district, they're trying to pass a law so that math class is always simple, basic math. There are no tiers in it. You can't take algebra 2 yet if somebody else is just taking 1 plus 1 equals 2. Until you're a senior, you won't be allowed to distinguish it because that distinguishes one student as better than another student. And so you can't have that. We've all got to be equal and we've all got to be the same. And God bless them. Some of our black brothers and sisters and some of our Hispanic brothers and sisters have been coming out and saying, that's stupid. My child will not be allowed to advance because you're holding everybody else back to the lowest common denominator. Sounds a lot like socialism, but I'm not going to go there today. But that's what's creepy. And then you hear these things, they anger you. Here we are, Memorial Day weekend. We're remembering the sacrifice to keep our freedom and to keep all these things moving forward. And you, I don't know, anybody else here ever get stirred up about those kind of things? And so here we come in to the church. And I say, Lord Jesus, they've been messing with me. They've been getting me stirred up. They've been getting my friends stirred up. And whereas we were doing fine, loving everybody and getting along with our coworkers, regardless of race, ethnicity, and so on and so forth, all of a sudden, it's us and them again. Why? How did this happen? And they're doing it in the name of eliminating racism. You can't fight racism with racism. You can't distinguish between and treat one and another.
It's wrong.
So how do we do it in the church? There's only one body, and there's only one Lord. And we love the body of Christ. We may look different on the outside. We may have different dress codes, different styles, but we're one blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The black man who loves Jesus is my brother more than the white man who does not follow the Lord. We are the body of Christ. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Jesus brings us together. Who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The reason Paul is writing to the Ephesians is so that they would begin to think in terms of the kingdom of God. Think in terms of the kingdom of God. Think about Jesus. Think about his will. How does he want us to think? How does he want us to feel? How does he want us to react? They were raised with some prejudice, a worldview that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. Now all of a sudden they find themselves in Christ. And they say, I have to give up all of that. But you know the Jews, you know what they're like. You know they this and you know they that. No, wait a second. Wait a second, that's prejudice talking. I need to get rid of that. They were raised with this worldview that they were separated. They were two different groups. Now they needed to turn their thinking toward unity within the kingdom of God. I need to change the way I think. I need to change the way I think about other people. Not the way the world wants me to change the way I think, but the way the Word of God wants me to change the way that I think. We are citizens, at least most of us here today, I'm sure. Of the United States of America. National fervor, patriotism, pride in one's country is for the most part a good thing. And as I said at the top of the message, I think America is one of God's greatest ideas, bringing us together from many different nationalities and backgrounds to form a very strong union. But this nation, along with all others on earth, is only a temporary institution. America will not last forever. Our loyalty to this nation has to be subservient to our loyalty to the kingdom of God. I am a citizen of heaven first, and then a citizen of the United States of America. I would give my life to defend this country, but I give my soul to Jesus Christ. If this nation were to pass laws that were contrary to the law of God. Not that that would ever happen, of course. If this nation were to pass laws that were contrary to the Word of God, where would your loyalties lie? Would you still stand for Jesus Christ and the Word of God? Now, I know that our nation was founded on biblical principles. Probably the main reason I'm proud to be an American is because we were founded on biblical principles. And our early founders quoted the word over and over again. When they came to an impasse in their early discussions, do you know what they did? They took a break, walked across the street to the church, got down on their knees, and they prayed their way through. And when they came back, they had consensus and were able to continue on with the business of government. And even though there were different denominations present, they recognized the authority of God over the affairs of people. Our founding documents talk about things endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Endowed by our, and that's how the revolution got started. They felt that the governing body over them, England, was not allowing for the God-given rights. And they felt any government that interfered with God-given rights didn't have the right to govern any longer. And called for the people to rebel. Now, I'm not inciting to arms. I'm inciting us all to unity within the body of Christ. Wherever we find people of faith in Jesus, regardless of their color or ethnicity, we found members of our family. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Please, I beg you, don't let the world drive wedges in your heart. It's doing it big time right now. It's condemning you. It's calling you a racist. It's doing this. It's trying to pull you this way, trying to push you. Don't go there. They'll say some things that are going to get you angry. They're going to say some things that are going to get you upset. Take a minute. Calm down. Take it before the Lord. What is their purpose? What are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy what God has built up and brought together. And the way we become a part of that is we get incited. We get angry. We react rather than respond. We need intelligence. We need calm. We need love. We need peace like never before. Let the heathen rage. Don't rage back. Don't rage with them. Be you in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Paul's job? Walking in between the Gentiles and the Jews. After centuries of animosity. And coming in and preaching Jesus. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for those raised as Gentiles to find themselves in a fellowship with the Jews? Can you imagine how difficult it was for the Jews after centuries of being taught you don't eat this kind of stuff and you dress that way and you have to go into a church where the Gentile believers come in too and say, I guess it's okay because Jesus has answered all of those questions. But I'm so used to living like this. I'm so used to thinking like that. You know what? In a way, it's almost a gift. Because a lot of times when we're raised in a semi-Christian environment, we just kind of think that everything we learned is Christian. And it's not. But when there's a stark contrast, we're made to reevaluate everything. Okay, God, okay. And that's what I ask of you this morning. Keep reevaluating. Don't get driven along by the narrative of the world. Don't get sucked in. Don't become militant because they're militant. Keep the heart of Christ. Would you agree with me that the number one thing America needs right now is Jesus? It would bring the temperature down. It would bring the discussion back to a civil, to a logical Many of the things they're saying right now are just stupid. My kid can't go to algebra class because why? Somebody was offended by what? Are you kidding me? Okay, take a deep breath. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep following Jesus Christ. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Stand with them in their struggle for freedom, recognition, and happiness. The good news is, as verse 19 says, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We're the same family as the apostles and the prophets. Apostles, New Testament, the prophets, the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. Verse 22 indicates that we're being built into a structure together. In heaven on the other side, it's going to be gorgeous. And God is going to have people from every race, nation, ethnicity, singing his praises and worshiping around his throne. There will be love, there will be peace, there will be joy. We are the body of Christ in East Berlin, Pennsylvania. Very soon we will join our brothers and sisters from around the world in the greatest melting pot of all. It's called heaven. And we'll enjoy the wedding supper of the Lamb. So I pray for you, my friend, as I've done a lot of praying over these last several days. I don't know what all this message may have stirred in your heart or in your mind. Sometimes it's not bad to be stirred to right thinking. Lord, wash our brains. Help us to see clearly, to hear right. When you're having a conversation with somebody else, be very careful. Don't let it go to the dark side. Keep it redemptive. Keep it in Christ. It's not wrong to call wrong wrong. It's wrong to call wrong right and right wrong. But keep it on the redemptive side. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's so easy to get caught up in. Last summer, my dad spent a month with us, and it was when they were lighting up Minneapolis, you know, burning the buildings and so on and so forth. And the way they were reporting things, my dad, 91 years old, was talking like I hadn't heard him talk in 40 years. I knew he wasn't that man anymore that he was, but it started coming out again. In fact, my dad, I heard him say at one point, I can't wait until everybody's intermarried and then there won't be a racial thing in America anymore. We'll all just kind of be a dark tan and everything will be fine. That same, I heard him saying things that he hadn't said for 40 years. And I said to him, I said, Dad, you can't watch the news anymore. And he agreed with me. He agreed with me. Yeah, that's not good for me. That's not healthy. And we're under assault right now. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, I know you know that in different ways. But your faith in Jesus Christ, your purity in your heart is under assault. Hatred and bitterness and prejudice are trying to make a comeback. Don't let it. Be a child of God. Would you stand with me this morning?